Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
That's right. Did you get that, Rex? If it takes all night.
Ah, got that. All that long, howling at the moon.
They said it enough times that we should have figured that out.
All night.
Oh,
all
goodness.
Night. All night. Yeah. All night.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds
how
like
are you
a Wednesday thing.
All different kind of, you know, all night. Let the good times roll. Whole different scenario.
Yes.
Cards.
A little heated.
So listen, it's Friday. It is Friday. And I'm in.
TGIBF.
Thank God it's Bloody Friday.
Thank God it's Bloody Friday. At last.
I had it. Absolutely. Yep. And if I was any better, I would be twin. just wanted to share that with everybody. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, we got a good lineup on the board. Kind of bouncing all over the place, and I love it. I think that's wonderful. And we've got three callers on the line already, so life is good. Life is really good. So let me open it up and introduce everybody. First off, we have Adam joining us.
Hello, hello.
Adam, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
If I was any better, I'm telling you, I'd be twins.
Two of you? I don't know if we could handle it.
That'd be dangerous.
I don't think...
Definitely dangerous. I'm getting double the throw punches.
Not me. I don't do the throw punches. Well, no, I don't do the throw punches. I'm much more lethal.
There's a button in there.
Yeah, yeah. I always find it's an alternative. You know,
what would that alternative be?
No, I cannot
toe
tell.
Toe stomp? Shin kick?
I'm not telling. Not telling. But I will tell you that we also have Gray Eyes Smith on the line. Hello, Gray. Welcome aboard.
Hi,
happy Friday.
I mean, Phil. Rex,
hey, Gray.
Adam.
Hey, Gray.
Here I am.
Hey, Gray.
Oh,
there you go.
I don't know. I can write that on a calendar. Gray doesn't even know who the hell I am. I think he hears much of me. Oh, my gosh. Too funny. How are you, anyway? You having a good week? Well,
yeah,
weekend,
you bet.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. And you work tomorrow, right? You got a show tomorrow?
I do, yes.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we'll get a plug in there for you at some point tonight, I promise. Gray has a show tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
Come howl from the Canadian winds with gray eyes.
All right. There you go.
Band.
There you go.
Company.
Smooth jazz.
See, it's not just me. Anyway, we'll pick up the next caller. Now we have, I believe, Naomi on the line. Hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hey,
another
Naomi.
Comedian.
There she is.
Let's howl together.
Very good. Good to have you, hon. You have a good week?
Yeah, busy, but good.
Yeah, but sometimes busy is a good thing. Keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
well,
let
know,
me be
doing.
As lazy as possible. Because I like trouble.
It keeps me off the streets and out of the bar, so it's a good thing for me, I guess.
I hear you. Honestly, I do.
That's what I tell everybody. So I think it works. Okay, let's see now. Who else do we have? We have one more caller. And I believe this is Kel. Hello, Kel. How are you tonight?
I am wonderful. How is everyone else?
Hi,
Kel.
Hey,
Kel.
Hi,
Kel.
Hey, Nate. Thank you for helping me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have everybody here tonight. Nice to see. We got a board full of poetry and an awful lot of audios, but I look forward to hearing everyone's comments. Absolutely. That would be a wonderful thing. So,
let the good times
roll. Go to the board. I'm sorry?
I was just saying, let the good times roll. Harking back to
That's
the
right.
song.
Absolutely. All night.
All night. Mm-hmm. You know, that has a similar tempo to Sugary. It's definitely like, like it was exactly the same. That's what threw me at the jump of it. I was like, is that Sugary? Because I'm learning that song was for my friend. Like, we're going to play that together, like, acoustically. Yeah, right. So I kind of recognized that tempo of it was very similar. I think the same notes even. It might have been mixed differently.
That's interesting. Well, see, you're going to have to record it for us so we can hear it.
Well, maybe, yes, when she gets it together. She's a phenomenal singer, but life. She was actually offered when she was 8 years old to sing for the Grand Ole Opry. She's far more talented than I am, and I don't know why she wants me by her side, but she does, and I love her to death. She's my best friend. She's my best friend.
We don't pick our friends because of what they can do usually. We pick them because of how they are.
Yes, because she loves me. Yes, exactly. She likes
exactly.
a schmuck like me.
Well, you know, could be worse.
I don't know. You haven't known me long enough yet.
No, but I can, yeah, trust me, I can tell already there's much worse out there. They wouldn't be wasting their time calling poetry. They would think that was silly. Yeah, look at it that way. Anywho's how. Well, then again, there are some that do call. Maybe I should behave myself and be quiet. Button in my lip. Okay. Rex,
let me unbutton.
How about you start us up? What do you think?
What you want me to do?
I want to put...
Unbutton.
I'm going to have Rex start us out with Dan DeShino's piece.
Oh, okay.
It's called Footprint.
Click, click, click. Click, click, click.
Footprint by Daniel DeShino. And he took the prompt, the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking the landscapes, but in having new eyes.
Indeed.
Of what more can early morning walk bring but coyote footprints of morning dew paint, etched on veins of hard black walkways, flowing blood of colorblind animated golems through a beaten, dehydrated forest. Footprints soon lost to the smile of the sun and returned to the ethos air devoured by my carnivorous lungs. Of what more can footprints bring but a tale of travels from beasts that walked as mine walked past on mirrored journey? Of what may anything bring but a simple thought, a single word, a snowflake to fall on mountaintops to gather in armies and bury the earth? And when light of springtime warms the world, melt the snowflake's waiting words to the gathering mind of growing streams to motivate for coyote travels and drink from lakes of winter's ice.
Wow.
And poem.
Brilliant.
That was a nice
bit. Nice read.
All right, why don't we start with Naomi. Why don't you start us off, please?
Yeah, this is beautiful, the way he took the coyote footprints there as a metaphor all throughout. And, yeah, just beautifully worded. Oh, my gracious. I love a snowflake to fall on mountain tops to gather in armies and bury the earth, because that's exactly what happens, you know. Those snowflakes, they're like an army, and they take over. So that's so beautifully put for, you know, for just to explain snow, how it happens, how winter comes upon the earth. That's just beautiful. I find those two lines. This is beautifully written all throughout. Just a sublime work. You're just bravo, Le DeShino.
Well, thank you very much, Naomi. And Gray, how about you?
Well, you know, he says it's written off of personal experience. It was looking for inspiration and saw coyote footprints, and just like described, and the rest kind of came. So that's pretty neat that, you know, that you, as a poet, you can take a simple thing such as coyote footprints and turn it into magic, you know, just beautifully written and expressed.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Gray. And Kel, how about you?
Well, as usual, Daniel puts out an awesome metaphoric but beautifully written piece of art. My goodness. There was... what more can footprints bring but a tale of travels from the beast that walked as mine walked past on your journey. Wow, that's just so amazing. This whole thing from beginning to end, it just it follows the prompt, but in a very unique and eloquent way, and it's absolutely gorgeously done.
Thank you very much, Cal. And Adam, how about you?
Oh, wow. Like, okay, this was brilliant. It was like, so he takes us on a journey, and it's a journey of philosophy, I felt, of man's place among the universe, really. We start on Earth with, you know, this beast, and he's like, well, and the Snowflake Mountain comparison, I thought, was more like us. Like, we're fleeting, you know, we're just, even as the mountains, an army maybe of snowflakes, but we'll melt with the coming of the next season. And it's a fleeting, beautiful tragedy, this poem. And it was masterful. This was actually, like, so impressive. I'm thinking right now, maybe one of the best things I've read today. I kind of am speechless. I know Rex is going to cinch this up beautifully when he gets to it. And then when I shut my mouth, my trap. But, like, this was a philosophical romp through life, death, what it means to journey, to compare yourself to these things around us, what they are, the visions. You know, it's more about your eyes and changing your sight because you learn and you grow. And all right, Rex, take it away, bro.
Actually, you make some great points in there, and I follow along those same lines. Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I like this piece by Daniel. I thought it was well written. I thought the metaphors were great. And I have to say that I really, you know, I think it was a pretty impressive write. I mean, Dan has a great way of expressing himself. And I think that, you know, it is true. You know, it, as the quote says, you know, it's not about finding, like, a new landscape. It's all about looking at things in a different, you know, different way, changing your perspective. And there's a lot of truth in that quote there. So I think that Dan did a wonderful job reflecting that.
Absolutely. Great comments, guys, and a lot of salient points on everything. Adam, you hit on that sort of a philosophical note to this, and you're right. I love the metaphor running through this, the sort of the impermanence of nature itself, and that includes us, which we are part of this, what's etched in here, like that line in the first stanza, etched on veins of hard black walkways, flowing blood of colorblind. There's that nice note of, we walk through this treasure of land, yet we're colorblind to the actuality of what we see within it because we don't think much of the landscape itself, which is the thought and the idea of footprints. We walk the same paths every day, yet we lose sight of that which is around us. And that's the thing he's opening up to, the fact that when you open your eyes, you can see that rose. You can smell it all of a sudden 50 feet away. Or you watch the raccoon that's busy gnawing on a little bit of tidbit that's rustled out of the garbage. Just those little notes of nature that you should always take into the mind every day because they offer up something that pleases the mind, the nature of us as well as the nature of everything. Yep. Great comments, everybody. And I got to start this one off with, all right, Eugene, we're coming back your way.
It's
been
a
while.
I
couldn't resist.
Okay, well, Eugene picked this one, which is by Babbler. I guess Eugene just wants to hear it, so I'm going to hit that button, and we're going to listen to that audio. So here we go.
Stitches. She needle noses through to the other side, drawing lines, dragging strands behind, linking her to every place she's ever trod. Unable to step back and eye the cloth, images lost to her in brief recollections, intersections, key changes in color and direction. Bits and bobs swim, notions plucked and tucked in an old shortbread tin, orphaned phrases like hirsute harlot and midnight starlet seem connected, considered, then rejected, wait in the draft bin for later crafting. Questions not worth asking are pulled and snipped, the endings clipped. Years of crissing and crossing, elegant, once flipped, were well worth flossing. A blank length stretches the hoop. She plunges through, laced with chartreuse, starting in on something new. End of poem.
Nice.
Great read, Babla. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Kel, why don't we start with you, please?
Wow. Oh, my God. I wrote something a long time ago about cross-stitching, and there's nothing like this. Oh, my God. Using it as a metaphor for, you know, closure and progress is just absolutely amazing. Image lost to her in brief recollections, intersections, key changes to color and direction. Her alliteration is fantastic. The rhyme and flow are really excellent. And the metaphors are just brilliant, using the art of cross-stitching a pattern for getting on with life, and just really amazing.
Like you said, thank you, Cal. And Adam, how about you?
Yeah, so there is a lot in this to really kind of take your time with. This is the first time I'm reading it, so I'm sorry and I apologize. But this is, again, this is rivaling just great, amazing work. To take this, the act of stitching or cross-stitch and all that, and then just masterfully turn it into this metaphor of lost dreams, lost ambitions. And I feel like she's part of it, though. Like, she was part of, like, it almost reminds me of an editor that had to, like, destroy someone's work or something of that nature. Like, they feel guilty because it was fine work, and they had to oh, you can't have this in this because our publisher won't like this, and so on and so forth, right? All the, like, deconstructive mechanisms that being an editor entails, right? And I don't, but it's not necessarily true to that. That might just be my own intent leaning in, but it might be her own personal experience of, like, that happening to her. But there is a closure, but there's a regret, and it's tragic. Like, it's effing tragic, because that's such a part of you. Let's say it was writing that she's talking about, right? That's a part of who you are, and it's a part of those characters and their story and their world. And when you're forced to conform and take away and edit and destroy something, it's awful. It's maniacal. It's fascist, and it's a beautiful. I think this is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor of such a thing done with what is probably one of her hobbies. Maybe, because she knows so much about it, or maybe she looked it up and read about it, so therefore she could write about it. But it was beautiful. It was beautifully tragic.
Excellent. Thank you, Adam. And Naomi, how about you?
And this makes me think of a movie. I can't think of the name of it, but the girl, she's with her family, her old family, her aunts, her mother, her grandmother, I think her great-grandmother, and they're stitching pieces of quilts together. I don't know if anybody else saw that movie. No?
Nope.
And it reconnects her to her life, her experiences, and to everything, like, around her, you know, and she comes, like, whole circle in the end. And that made me think of that movie. It's an amazing movie. I wish I could remember the title of that movie. But, yeah, this makes me think of that, putting those patches of different parts of your life together, making a quilt mm-hmm. out of it. And, you know, she put in phrases like orphan phrases, like hirsute harlot and midnight starlet seem connected, considered, then rejected. You know, waiting in the draft bin for later crafting. So she puts in, like, her past, her present, and her, I think, a bit of her future into this write. And anyway, Babla is such an amazing, amazing writer. I mean, everything she writes there is just so, so well written. So this is another one of those. Just amazing, Babla, all the way through.
I like that, Naomi. Thank you. And Greg, how about you?
You know, I felt connected to the needle as it plunged through the material. Her words are powerfully descriptive and engaging. Just an incredible write.
Nice. I like that too. Thank you there, Gray. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to agree with Naomi wholeheartedly. She just about took all the words out of my mouth, out of my head, out of, you know, the whole thing. I did feel that it was a kind of symbolic of pulling together those pieces of your life, you know, that past, present, and future. I absolutely agree with you there, Naomi, word for word. And pulling it in and holding it together, you know, so that way you can kind of bear witness to it. It is like a quilt in my head, but that wasn't what my first thought was. But I think that this was really well done. An excellent job, Babbler, and thanks for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
Great comments, everybody. And you're all right. The symbology in this is not just sewing that part of your life into something that can be put aside and recognized, but it's also sewing your life together, the healing in the moment of letting some of that stuff go, like the hirsute olive, the midnight scholar. Even though it's considered for a later crafting, it's there in the open and in your face. So there's a notation to something that's gone on in life, and the healing process is of getting it out of your head and into this. And then you've got that offering on the bottom end. A blank link stretches the hoop she plunges through, laced with chartreuse, starting in on something new, a little continuation of the cycle, so to speak, or an actual start to a new beginning.
All right.
I found the title of the movie I was talking about. It's How to Make an American Quilt. And it's really, 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 it's there's Adam Baldwin that plays in it, and Finn Dodd, Kate Capshaw, Sarah Kadrick. It's really, really an amazing, amazing movie. Wyana Ryder plays in it. So if you ever get the chance to watch a great movie there, How to Make an American Quilt, that's really it's an amazing movie. Anyway,
there
just putting that in.
And I do have to say, the only thing I was going to say is I find that it's interesting how that new beginning starts out with that color chartreuse, because it's different. It's not, you know, just a typical color that people normally think of. And I found that to be an
Absolutely.
Interesting choice. And I wonder what
it's
the
little,
family did. It was
foreign in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So let me see now. I guess I have to go find something, because that's the way it goes. Oh, Naomi, you have two on the board.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
put the
first one up. And, yeah, because I had a carryover from somewhere. And I want to put that one up. Now, I have two audios.
Wait, which one am I clicking here?
Clicking? Who's clicking?
No, I'm wondering which
I'm
one of these
clicking.
Links is it? Is it the Gray Eyes or the Rex one? Or the
oh,
Fill
no,
My
no.
Eyes?
It's,
where
it's,
are we?
It's under it's on the jeans. I was just putting the link up for Frank.
Okay, all right, I see your name now. Thank you, sorry.
No problem. You always got to refresh. That's a rule of thumb, Randy.
Well, it was fresh. It just hadn't popped up yet.
Here we go.
Where has romance gone? I had just started writing. Through my head, my muse was tripping. Oh, she was just baking cookies like crazy, shoveling them out of the oven like it was on fire. And I'm telling you, those cookies were smoking, steaming hot. Yeah, my muse is singing, twirling, swirling. The cookies are flying through my brain, left and right. Hell, she is just dancing topless all over my kitchen countertops. Then, damn it, the darn phone rings and everything just stops. Oh, shit. It's Yellow Mellow Guy. My latest Tinder swiped right while asking myself, oh, hell why? He had arrived with a drooling smile, half there, half aware, slurred out a slow, yo, hello, winked in a sad attempt to flirt, and shoved into my arms a gigantic bowl of yellow jello, grasping the doorknob so he'd stop swaying to and fro, and shouted out, look, I brought dessert. Now, don't get me wrong, jello's fine, just not ideal to accompany wine. Oh, geez, I'm not asking for no hero. But where has all the romance gone? Where are the men with chocolates, flowers, and beautiful songs? I called his taxi back because, geez, I'm telling you, he wasn't too sexy. And I wasn't that desperate. The phone rings on. Hell, oh no, oh no, no, no. I'm not answering it. My muse is running naked out the door. My wonderful lines of poesy, a dead pile laying on the floor, right beside a burnt cookie, and her still jiggling yellow bra.
That's awesome.
Great
job,
read,
man.
Naomi.
Great.
Thank you for that sound pad. That was a nice, well endowed, not to mention cryptically woven tale you rolled out there. So let's get you some comments. Adam, I heard you giggling. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, Naomi takes us through a little traipse of the modern world now. And, you know, she mentions Tinder and how frivolous that really can be. You really don't know for sure what you're getting into. But it's, you know, she starts off like high expectations, right? And she's so like, almost seems like there's another fixation here. Maybe it's just her mind and, like, with who she would rather be interested in or whatever, or she's actually writing or doing her hobby, whatever, or just fantasizing about the kind of man she wants. But what does she get, you know, in life is this yellow man, and everything's yellow. And I was trying to remember what classically yellow metaphor means. I think it means neutral. So maybe that's why she used it, like, blasé, kind of boring, but I mean, yellow can have a lot of metaphorical meaning. But I was trying to, so I tried to use like context clues with she used the yellow, and at the end, the yellow jiggling bra on the floor, and like everything though that associated with the guy was yellow and not interesting at all. So I was like, did she sleep with them? So she did, and it's, no, she didn't, right? No, she didn't sleep with them because she sent them away because she wasn't that into them, or she did and was like, nah, that's a letdown. Never calling that jerk again. But it's like she's a highly wanted woman though too, right? Because like she got another call already, another date or whatever. But she's like the burnt cookies. The fire's gone. Like it rose. Like it, whatever she was into is burnt by now. When at first it was like hot and ready and all this greatness coming from it. But, like, she got distracted by these boring dudes. For what reason was she wasting her time? Because she's not that desperate, right? But still, she's in need and needy of affection. And these real, like, where are these partners she is fantasizing of, more or less? I don't know. It was really funny. It was hilarious. It was great commentary. It was great. It was like a book, really. It was very modern and cool, and I loved it. And her reading of it was fantastic. It was
Thank
Sorry,
you,
I got long-winded there. I apologize. I was...
Thank you.
Kel, how
about
you?
Well, this is the second time I've had the fortune to listen to this poem. The first time Sal read it, and now you, I got to hear your voice, and it's just, wow. It's just some humorous. This time, as it was the first, I absolutely loved it. wonderful job. Very wonderful job. You really loved this, Naomi.
Thank you, Kel.
Thank you, Kel. How about you, Gray? Gray, you there? Are you mutating?
I am. I just gave out an Emmy-winning comment. No, you know, Naomi, you did a fantastic job, you know, portraying the character in this poem. I really loved your voicing of this read, and the write was fantastic as well. Very hilarious.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Gray. All right, Jean, your turn.
Well, Kel, listen to me. Wow, I know who I'm talking about. Naomi, this was an excellent piece. I found it very entertaining, but I have to tell you that audio is really what, you know, hit it out of the park. Because, you know, your inflections and the way you presented it was spot on. And I thought that was the light is excellent, but the audio was even better. I was like, oh, my God. So I was really cracking up. But it was an excellent job, and I thought it was very well expressed. So nice work.
Thank you, Jean.
I, too, got to walk that way. When Sawa did this, she did a great job with it. I didn't think at first she was going to make it through because she was dying to roar out with laughter with what the story unfolded within her read. But the way you read it and the intonations that you gave it and the little extra pauses to bring a little bit more life into it was all in this piece, and it came out just the way it should have been read. And I'll say it was funny the second time around with you reading it. So you did a great job.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, it was excellent.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is it back to me, Rex? Is it my?
Absolutely.
Is it back to me?
Yes.
What shall I do now?
You gotta fill in the blanks and drop it on the board.
Okay. That's the story of my life. Okay. Here's the next one by Casey Day. I'm not going to elaborate, not one bit. Okay, and I have an audio for that as well. So I'm working my way down. Somebody's going to get to read soon. But, yes, here we go.
Cold November. Hello, November, gray skies and blue people. Do you remember what it was like under the white lights in the church steeple? Do you hold me as close as I hold you? Do you know where broken people go when they don't know what to do? I'm always trying to find myself under the stars and behind broken branches, inside the violence hiding in all my chances, burning bridges because we can't turn back around, taking baby steps because I tend to fall down. November, honey, you can be so sweet, a little bit of heaven staring straight at me, but you're full of false hope and good intentions, and I'm burning with all the questions I forgot to mention. Hello, November. You turned my world blue. Never had the patience to keep on pushing through. Always held me down, but finally I grew. Do you know what happens to broken people who don't know what to do? What happens when home isn't home anymore? When you're alone, lying on the floor, staring at the door, wearing the red dress you wore to impress on a date you can't help but remember, on a cold, old, gray day in the middle of November. It's the coldest day in the middle of November.
Wow.
Great read, Casey. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And, Gray, why don't we start with you?
I thought it was hauntingly melancholic. You know, the dreariness of it just bleeds through the lines. And, you know, November must really bring some bad memories for this person. And I thought it was just a beautifully written poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I think she took November as a metaphor because in November, it's where depression happens in a lot of people, like I know. And, you know, it's the disappearance of the autumn is falling away, and winter is coming, and everything is gray, you know, and everything is dying. And this, and I read into this. Well, maybe it's because it hit a personal note in me there, but I hit it as, you know, somebody who's escaping maybe domestic violence, you know, and she's out, and she home isn't home anymore. And yeah, this just hit home with me, you know. I have a hard time commenting on this poem.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you. And Adam, how about you?
I'm just going to second what everybody said, because I don't really want to speak on this either. It was beautifully written. It was intelligent, like beyond. Like it's brilliant. This could be taught. It could be in like a college. It's college level writing. It's high level. It's even like at the end. Okay, I'm going to start rambling, but at the end, it's interesting the way she makes it fall sort of flat. I think that speaks of the whole thing all together in a way. I just don't want to care to over-explain. I don't want to take up too much time, but I second everybody's. It was melancholy as hell. Made me sad as fuck.
Thank you there, Adam. And Kel, how about you?
I agree. This is a very heart-wrenching poem. But I was writing this. What a beautifully deep and metaphoric poem, Casey. I love how you use the month of November as a metaphor for questioning life and love and how it all can fall apart. Nice job. It's beautifully done. It really is. And November can be a very melancholy month. Maybe this month itself has meaning to her. I don't know, but it's the beginning of winter and everything is changing. So it's, you know, maybe that's all it is, but it's very, very beautifully done.
Excellent. Thank you, Kel. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this piece was very well done. I can't disagree with anyone. You know, it was introspective, it was melancholy, it was well done. You know, it wasn't overdone. You know, it's not like, oh my God, it was dragging on. It wasn't like that. And I think it was just very well expressed. And I think you did a great job. So, excellent job, Casey, and thanks for sharing.
Great comments, everybody. I think it's the questions that hold a lot, because this thing sits on a note to very being a little on the very deep side. It's like that first stanza. Do you remember what it was like under the white lights from the church steeple? Do you hold me as close as I hold you? And do you know where broken people go when they don't know what to do? And that second stanza kind of hit on that note of something that fell apart there. Broken branches inside the violence, hiding in all my chances, burning bridges, and then baby steps. It kind of hits on the note of a broken marriage, broken relationship. And the thoughts do, it's a bit sad and melancholy. It's on those notes. It's cold, and it's the onset of winter. And, you know, it's only going to get darker and bleaker as time goes on until spring rolls around again. And there was one other note, what happens when home isn't home anymore, when you're lying alone on the floor staring at the door. There's that notation of deeply missing that which once was there, which is no longer there. It could be from death, or it could be from a breakup. So, everybody's right. There's a sense of bleakness in this, which rings true. All right, Jean. Mm-hmm. Back your way.
Okay. Well, Adam, I have a piece for you to read if you don't mind.
I gave a SoundCloud. If I'm lying,
I know,
read,
this
I will.
One's by SoundCloud.
Oh, okay. I was like tripping. I was like, oh my God, are you going to force me to read it? I don't want to read it, but all right, cool.
No, I'm going to have to read somebody else's. Self-rising mojo. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Self-rising mojo.
What?
So whenever you are ready.
Yeah, I thought you were telling me to read mine, which I didn't want to. I understood
that
it was somebody else's finally.
No, I have your sound card up for my big deal.
So this is December Lanes. Interesting. I love that name. Self-Rising Mojo. Rising. All right, here we go. Meteorological winter begins without any leaves to feed the wind. Hardwoods take on gusts like bare hands, their point being every direction like maps getting busy on flight paths of birds. An eagle so bald it's the moon in the suit. The sky makes it clear there are no words. Why the river just hums and a kingfisher drums. And so many beats, it's all the feet that walk the earth if you listen. Clouds show up like the sun in a coat. An old man in a season, his dog nearly out. Sorry, I was blind there for a second. Her snout so white, it's a chance for snow. But her legs in the back don't go any further than not today. And all the mountain has to say is Douglas fir about it. And it's from a prompt one, Vision is the Art of Seeing Things Invisible. End poem.
Nice read there, Adam. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah. This, the flow of this ride is just enchanting. The imagery is out of this world. The way she took nature and she sculpted it to fit the prompt so well is just so amazing. And I just love the lines, an eagle so bald, it's the moon in a suit. The sky makes it clear there are no words, why the river just hums and a kingfisher drums. And so many beats, it's all the feet that walk the earth if you listen. The walk the earth if you listen. If you just listen, take time out to listen, you'll see all these the wonderful things, you know, that are upon the earth, all the amazing mysteries and all the amazing things. And these are such beautiful lines here. I just love this poem, this write.
Excellent, thank you, Naomi. And Gray, how about you?
You know, I got it back what Naomi said about this poem. You know, it really is a deep poem full of incredible imagery and a fantastic rhythm and flow. I thought it was quite beautifully done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Cal, how about you?
Oh, my God. Really wonderful writing. Hardwoods take on dust like bare hands. Their point being in every direction like maps, getting busy on flight paths of birds. This is really clever. Really clever word use of words. That's one of the things I love about poetry is you can use words in ways they were never intended. And he does that so eloquently. It's amazing. This is really, really fantastic. I enjoyed it all the way through. It's just wonderfully done.
Thank you very much, Kel. And Adam, you got to read it. How about you?
No, I didn't read it correctly, for one. So I did a disservice, and I just second what everybody said.
Oh, thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I have to agree. I looked at Pam and I went, yeah, it's wonderful imagery. And I thought it was a great look at nature in the line. But there was a great touch when the things that aren't seen. You know, there's little I don't know what you would actually say, but he touched on it throughout the poem. Not any one thing in particular, like through everything, you know, the wind and all those little pieces of nature that we really don't see, but they really make it happen, you know, and it's a pretty incredible. So I think he did an excellent job. Just a wonderful, wonderful piece of work. And Adam, I thought you sounded good, so don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself over the head.
You're right. This has an open-eyed view to it. And it's great with the imagery, but that second stanza really stands out. an eagle so bald, it's the moon in a suit. What a clever way of advertising both the eagle and the moon as equal bits on the same level. Yeah. Moon in a suit. Yeah, a bald head with some feathers around it. I like that. The sky makes it clear there are no words. Why the river just hums and a kingfisher drums in so many beats. It's all the feet that walk the earth if you listen. Nice catch note with that end line, if you listen. Because he's viewing everything through his eyes, yet you get that notation. You got to listen, too. And I like the double thought on the last line, and all the mountain has to say is Douglas fir about it. A kind of a humorous quip to finish out with that notation with Douglas fir. And
I didn't understand why that was
anyway.
Humorous.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Absolutely.
All right, yeah. We're coming back your way.
Okay, I think I have one ready. I do. I have another SoundCloud by Martha Gettle. Don't you worry, Gray. I'm working my way to you. I don't want you to feel like you're left out. Okay, and I'm going to hit that button. Here we go. Oh, maybe I'll hit it again.
Leave Me Alone by Martha Gettle. Leave me alone, just leave me alone. I'm ready now to be on my own. You're breaking my heart one piece at a time. Heartache with you is all that I find. So walk away, just walk away. I don't want to hear a thing you say. All of your words, they run in my head, and they fill my heart with dread. Don't kiss me, don't touch me, don't tell me what to be, 'cause I'm done looking at you and crying. I'm ready now to face the goodbying. So leave me alone, just leave me alone. I'm ready now to be on my own. You're breaking my heart one piece at a time. Heartache with you is all that I find. I'm standing here telling you how I feel. You better believe this time it's real. I'm tired of the pain you're putting me through, and I'm ready for the leaving you. So leave me alone, just leave me alone. I'm ready now to be on my own. You're breaking my heart one piece at a time. Heartache with you is all that I find. You put me through all I can stand. You're not ready to be anyone's man. All that we had, it's all falling through. And I'm ready for the leaving you.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And let's get some comments. Adam, why don't we start with you, please?
You know, you go, girl. Get out of that. I was happy that she was ready for the goodbye. And, you know, I felt this was deeply personal to her. It touched me. And that's all I really got to say about it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Adam. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, me too. I thought the same thing Adam said. The way it was written, like in a straightforward, simple way, I felt that it was rather personal too. And yeah, I'm happy if she's getting out, if it is a true testimony of what she went through maybe in the past or what she's going through. So just another amazing song by Martha. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Naomi. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was one of her better songs for sure. I really liked it as a breakup song. You know, it's I put the best breakup song ever on the comment. But, you know, it's just a good thing to get out of that kind of stuff and when somebody's breaking you into little pieces. You know, it sucks. But no, beautiful job.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. Kel, how about you?
Okay.
I have another take on this, because I know Martha is a widow, just like I am, and it's a very, very personal poem, and I can totally relate to this. It's very haunting, in the sense that I think some of it is about letting go of her husband, basically, and, you know, because thoughts and memories, they haunt you, and it's very difficult sometimes to let go, and you just want them to leave you alone. You want their memory to leave you alone so you can move on. And I think that might be where she's coming from. So it's a very deeply melancholic personal write, very beautifully done.
You just might be absolutely right, and you put a different perspective on it by offering up that
mm-hmm.
comment. It drives thoughts in another way that one might not actually look at, but it does exactly walk that way itself. Very nice there, Cal. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was a well-done write. I was kind of listening to Cal, and I was like, probably. But then I looked at that last stanza. I'm not sure if this is really personal or not, and it very well could be, and you could all be correct. But I think this last stanza, you've put me through all I can stand. You're not ready to be anyone's man. So that kind of brings it to me in the present life, the present world. To me, it doesn't strike me as someone who's passed on because, you know, you're a little beyond being anyone's man. And I don't mean that in a bad way, Cal. Don't take that personal. I'm kind of
No, you made a good point, Cal. Very good point.
I think that we all just see it a little differently. And I think internally, because, you know, the way poetry is, I think each one of us takes it and kind of processes it our own way, and it leads us in different directions. I mean, this could be, you know, to me, I could relate this to somewhere in my life, you know, as I'm sure most all of us can. And I think in that respect, Martha, you know, did a great job because she made it so everyone could kind of, relate.
And that does
one
offer
fashion.
Up the possibility of maybe actually starting the date again, but there is that haunting mm-hmm. note of the husband, and this one clearly doesn't stand up and meet that challenge, so to speak. So there's maybe a bit of duality in it.
Mm-hmm. That could be. That's one thing, like Jean was saying about poetry, we put our own interpretations on it. You know, no one's really right, no one's really wrong. So
absolutely.
It's just how we see it.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
we
well.
All hit on little tidbits that ring something in the mind.
Yes,
right, and that's a sign of a good poem. You know, something that
yes.
everybody can relate to in one fashion or another. Yeah, it draws
right.
a lot of people and a lot of interest, and I think that's great. So nice job, nice job.
Well, all right, Jean, we're back on you again.
Okie dokie. Well, I got one more sound clip before I go to Gray. So you just sit still, Gray. I'm coming. I'm sorry. Okay, let me put up Sawa's and hit that button, and we'll all be good. Here we go.
I love poems. Alone, captive of my thoughts. Seule, captive de mes pensées. Alone, captive of my thoughts. The heart scent moves me. A sad blast of wind to cover silence in the November sky. For leaves dancing in the air, leaf by leaf took its flight. Suddenly, my eyes were thinking of soft reflections of petals of roses, heightened tenderly in my heart. Seule captive de mes pensées, le parfum de l'âtre m'a ému. Un triste souffle de vent, suppliant pour le silence, dans le ciel de novembre. Des feuilles d'automne dansaient dans l'air, feuille par feuille, prend sa volée. Soudainement mes yeux en songeaient au doux reflet des pétales de rose, décuplés dans mon cœur avec tendresse. End this poem.
Great read, Salwa. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
This is so gracefully written, and it's so tender. Salwa has this way of writing about her that just catches you. I don't know if it's because I'm French, and, you know, the French part just gets me every time there. The way she's taking those leaves, leaf by leaf, took its flight, and then she, the soft, suddenly my eyes were thinking of soft reflections of petals of roses heightened tenderly in my heart. So this is just an awesome, you know, you imagine a person sitting there looking out into a November sky and seeing these leaves falling and then thinking of warmer, you know, warmer petals. Days, summer days, and maybe it's a metaphor for, I don't know, life itself, like the how it can be cold sometimes and how it can be, you know, little things can warm your heart. I don't know her reflection here, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful write.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, how about you?
I agree with Naomi. It was tragic, haunting. I don't really want to speak on these sad pieces tonight. If I can pass on them, please.
I guess the thoughts with November kind of brings out a little bit of maybe bleaker times. But thank you, Adam. Kel, how about you?
We all have moments where we're sitting or lost in our thoughts of the past. And, you know, I love the way she captures that with the scent of the earth, the sound of the wind, and the leaves dancing. And just, and then, you know, there's this little sense of positivity and hope in the last line. Suddenly my eyes were thinking of soft reflections of petals of roses heightened tenderly in my heart. So, you know, it's very sad and it's melancholy, but there's also a hint of, you know, forward thinking as well. So it's very beautifully done.
Nice. Thank you, Kel. And Gray, how about you?
You know, it's a tender, touching poem full of love and beauty, as I think Sawa is as well. So the poem is like the author.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
I'm telling you, somehow it always comes to me. I don't get it. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I thought this was a great take on the prompt. I thought it was a wonderful reflection of the solemnness of winter and the faith and hope looking to the return of spring. Because even though this seems solemn to you, Adam, at the end it says,
why
suddenly my eyes were
everybody?
Thinking of soft reflections of petals of roses.
Why am I being pointed out of everybody? Other people thought that too.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely takes that that turn to the hope of becoming spring. Just saying, you know. I
was the only one that felt that way. Other people felt the same.
Well, it definitely brings you down throughout that first stanza, but then it kind of gives you that lift at the end to bring you back up to something hopeful. And that's what I see. So I was just saying, because...
Well, that's intelligent and concise, but don't single me out, please, when other people think the same way. I would appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's all good.
Great comments, gang. You know what this reminded me of? One of Guns N' Roses' better songs,
yeah.
November Rain.
Right.
Yeah, it's all about the coldness of losing someone, but the reflections on the back end of
a notation of soft reflections, right, reflections of petals of roses heightened tenderly in my heart. So there's that sweet little touch of remembrance within that that touch of sadness that goes along with it. So it balances itself out as a notation to both noting being sad of the loss, but noting and honoring the love that was once there as well. Nicely done, gang. Thank you. All right, Jane.
Okay. Gray, you're up, man. You're up. Okay, here we go. This is a piece by P.M. Murphy. Here we go.
Okay. This is called Cadence by P.M. Murphy. Days forgotten, down links and chains, and fervor's notion. Don't ask for something so little when you can have something so grand. Words trapped on lips of scared silhouettes of tomorrow's forgotten verse. Letters that escape our tongue, something we forget to tell because we are so busy breathing. And it is within each breath we learn cadence and foam.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. And Cal, why don't we start with you, please?
I think it comes down to the last verse, and it is within each breath you learn cadence. I would prefer you. I love that word. That's a beautiful word. Days forgotten, now chains and a fervor's notion. Wow. It says in the hand that experience comes from making bad decisions, Mark Twain. So, I'm still processing. I don't know why, but I am. I like it. It's a very well done poem. And it speaks to, you know, how we learn from making mistakes, you know. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Thank you, Joe. Adam, how about you?
That's exactly it. It's what the prompt was, written beautifully and eloquently with unique phrasing and imagery. P.M. Murphy, I know him personally. He's an amazing writer. I've watched him grow over years, like by leaps and bounds. He's very underrated. He's precise in his styling, the way he uses, how he says what he says. It's brilliant, really. I mean, if you don't get it, I feel bad for you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Adam. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, his phrasing in this, Patrick, is really, really, it's amazing. That line there, words trapped on lips of scared silhouettes of tomorrow's forgotten verse. Like, I mean, wow. Like, you know, your the mistakes of yesterday, you know, they form the silhouettes of tomorrow's consequences. I think that's what I see in that, you know. Letters that escape our tongue, something we forget to tell because we are so busy breathing. So just by living, you know, the letters are a metaphor for everything that escapes us, all the things in life that are escaping us. And, you know, while we're so busy just living our lives, you know, we forget to tell them. And it is to learn cadence, you know, to live, you know, to breathe. We have to learn cadence. We have to learn cadence. I say it in French there, la cadence there, but to breathe. We always
dance, almost
have
the cadence,
yeah.
The dance. like in the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to learn to move in the storm. We have to learn to accept our past mistakes to go, forward. Yeah. So
thank you, Naomi. You definitely like brought something new to my mind. I never thought, hearing cadence in French, that just blew me away. Like wow. So some internal thoughts I was already having.
Excellent, yeah. Naomi. French is, thank you very much.
French is amazing.
It definitely is. Shit. Why would I be a stupid American?
Gray, you got to read it. How about you? But you got to unmutate first.
Oh, my goodness. Well, busted again. But no, I thought it was a fantastic poem. With wonderful cadence, and the actual subject matter is fantastic as well. Just a beautiful job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. All right, Gene, what are your thoughts?
Okay. I thought this was a great piece. I really thought it was a really wonderful reflection of that prompt. You know, the prompt being, let me go and find it. Good decisions come from experience. And experience comes from making bad decisions. So it's a conundrum, you know. You can't have one without the other. And I think that he put it very well. So nice work, Patrick, and thanks for entering the contest. Very
absolutely.
Well done.
That first half is a reflection of the second half, because that middle two-liner is what sinks the reality in. Words trapped on lips of scared silhouettes of tomorrow's forgotten verse. There's an idea right up top, dates forgotten, downlinked chains, and a fervor's notion. You forget those things you've done wrong in the past, all of a sudden they come back to bite you in the ass because you don't remember those. And that's the thought of the cadence, the thought of walking a path where you learn from those mistakes. And if you don't learn and you forget about them or say the hell with them, you end up making those mistakes again and again. And they always bite hardest the second and third time around. So, nice comments, guys. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Well, I don't believe it's 11:15 already. What is that stuff?
It means we're rolling in some conversation.
Rolling. Us and Tina Turner.
Rolling down the river.
There you go. Okay. What I'm going to put a couple of SoundCloud, and then we're going to come to Naomi. Okay, this one's by Sapphire Rose, and let me hit the button. Wow, it should play. Okay. Okay, well, let
me like
turn
me
it off.
Read it? Would you like me to read it, Jean?
It threw me out of the... No, I think we'll be good. Give me a second.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting. Here we go. Let's try it again.
Moving on.
I can't.
As emotional tides wash over me, I contemplate how we became a travesty. As dusk pulls midnight's cover across the sky, it is I who must say goodbye. I will leave our past behind. Forgive me, I'm not trying to be unkind. Memories washed away by harsh words voiced day after day. Personally, I cannot continue on this way. Your desperate attempts to change me is not okay. Don't you see? These selfish actions are impeding my need to be free. I must let you go, for this is not an easy task. I ask you to forgive me for what happened in the past. It cannot be we together are wrong, you see. The intimacy between us is no longer there. Continuing to love in this capacity is more than I can bear. You must understand the affection just isn't there, and for you to push me just isn't fair. Deep in your heart, you knew this was coming, and playing with my emotions will just keep me running. My feelings have changed, and you are just not the one for me. I cannot give you and be what you want me to be. End poem.
Great read, Sapphire, and thank you very much for the soundtrack. It is greatly appreciated. And she took two quotes. There is an ocean of silence between us, and I am drowning in it. And in this story, I am the poet, you are the poetry. Excellent. Let's get you some comments. Adam, how about you? Why don't you start us off?
Why do you keep coming to me first, Rex? All right. It was okay. So it's not as so sad that I can't comment. I feel bad for her, but also this guy who she realizes, you know, at first it was okay, and maybe it was actually beautiful, and I feel by the cadence in her voice and how she read it that she did love this person once, but as relationships tend to do, over-controlling and all that sort of thing, this stuff starts falling apart, and, you know, she almost feels bad, though. You know, she actually feels awful about it, and it's like, I just, you know, if you can forgive me, it just wasn't meant to be. So she's matured and grown from it. Maybe he hasn't or not. I don't know. Because apparently she's not in his life anymore, but weirdly thinks about him, though he's gone. So even though she knew he wasn't the one, so either she's observing his life subtly in some way, like they remained friends or something. I don't know, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's well done. The way she read it was beautiful. Like, I immediately had to stop listening because it was going to make me cry. And I read it instead, and then I came back and started listening at the end, and I'm comment over.
Nice, Adam. Thank you very much. Cal, how about you?
That was a very beautiful poem of self-expression, empowerment, of continuation. Sometimes we have to let go just to be able to survive within ourselves. And I thought she wrote this in a very beautiful and eloquent way. Lovely.
Nicely said, Cal. Thank you very much. And Gray, how about you?
I thought she did wonderful with her SoundCloud. You know, her tone of voice really suited the work itself. And, you know, this is a painfully personal piece for her. You know, it's about the ending of a relationship that was 20 years in the making. And, you know, they went their separate ways. So that's just tragic. But wonderful job.
Well said, Gray. Thank you. And Naomi?
Yeah, this is very personal to Sapphire. And it's, you can tell, you know, when she's reading, her emotion comes through. It's not an easy task, you know, as she says, to say goodbye to a relationship. And there's guilt there. You know, even if you know it's the right thing to do, just leaving that person. And, you know, because I've already went through it. And, you know, you're breaking that person sometimes, you know, by walking away. And you feel the guilt. Even if you're doing the right thing for you, you still feel the guilt there. So she says, ask me, I ask you to forgive me for what happened, you know, because, you know, you're just not the one for me anymore. The intimacy isn't there anymore, and she just fell out of love. You know, we can fall into love and we can fall out of love, you know. I always say, you know, the only thing that's sure in life is the love that we have for maybe our parents, and, you know, so even then sometimes, and that, but for our children, you know, they'll always stay. But, you know, relationships, they come, they go, and yeah, well, that's life, you know. So this is an excellent written piece here by Sapphire, and
I admire the courage that it took to write this. It's hard to write personal pieces, you know, very, very difficult. Let your emotions run and just write. It's difficult.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
And it brings it back to me. I think that Sapphire did a great job with this write. I think it was well written, and I think that her expression of the relationship and the split was very well done. I think her poetic expression was wonderful in this. She had, you know, sometimes the hardest part in life is to accept the fact when something is over and ending it in a dignified manner. You know, so many people want to beat it to death and walk away. You know, to be able to do it in a respectful manner is a wonderful thing. And I think the Sapphire, you know, related this in a wonderful way. So nice job, Sapphire, and thanks for sharing that with everybody.
Absolutely.
I truly appreciate it.
Great comments, everybody. All right, Saf, if you're listening, I'm going to offer up a little bit of something unusual. Those first six lines, because of the cadence and the layout and the way they're voiced, they come to me with the same beat and intonation as Thank You by Led Zeppelin. And they work well within the tone of the song itself. But other than that, there's some nice little touches in here which kind of hit on why this is necessary. Your attempts to change me, not okay. The selfish actions are impeding my need to be free. So that the rift is maybe supreme control or so much control that you can't breathe. And that is kind of at the heart and core of what's going on here. And even though it makes such a big rift between the two of you, that there is nothing that can be done in the moment, except maybe it is time to actually make that call and separate, because to leave it go any further would be to kill the two of you totally, which is not the best way to handle things. So, and this also reads kind of like a letter, almost, explaining what could not be explained in the conversations or the fighting or anything else that went on. So it works on a couple of levels very well. Thank you very much.
Amen.
All right, Jean, now it's finally back to you.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting here. I have one more sound class. Don't you go anywhere, Naomi. Okay, let me put this up by Frank. Frank, where are you? Here you are. Okay, here we go. This is Bubba by Poetic Picasso.
Amidst the rural area of a distant town in the lone star state of Texas, there is a gripping tale unleashed by the unyielding wrath of the devil, a madman called by unbidden guests, bearing the guise of an unusual mask, designed from the peeled skin layers of the numerous faces of victims, a macabre obsession for the perverted taste of human flesh. Behind the rows of thick cotton fields is the solitary white house of hell, where thousands of bones and skulls are piled inside the burning furnace. From the creepy cellar of the unthinkable, gruesome carnage, a stench of crimson blood pervades over the grisly fumes. Eerie echoes of haunting screams resound throughout the killing fields, where the scarecrows and mutilated bodies hang as a daunting reminder, and the ebony crows pluck their eyeballs beneath the fibres of straw. The feasting maggots come out of the dried mouths in the droves. A family of cannibals dine on the cooked well-done meat of victims. Psychotic minds of the servants of death and unspeakable horror, they prey on the menacing fears of the fragile minds of people. It is there in the awful pit of the cellar that burns the fiery furnace. Near the rows the decapitated heads aligned in other body parts. The Ancient of Health performs his skilled surgical masterpieces of human art. But if you dare to enter the cellar, beware of the madman in the mask. Beware of the strenuous sound of the lithiferous chainsaw.
Nice. Nice job, Frank.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, gang, we got a little bit of something different to sink our teeth into. How about some feasting? Gray, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, you know, his theatrics are amazing. I really love his performances, you know, in all his pieces. But, you know, especially these dark ones where he puts on that, you know, eerie voice of darkness. But, you know, this is a deeply disturbing poem filled with mutilating and a monstrous imagery. And, you know, it really evokes the feeling of fear as you go through this right to the very end. Beware the ferocious sound of the leftovers, the leftovers chainsaw of Bubba. Just a magical, dark rage.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. Kel, what's your favorite tidbit to dine on?
Oh, my goodness, Frank. He pulls through one way or another, doesn't he? I thought this was an awesome rendition for the massacre, the St. Paul Massacre. Absolutely fantastic. It's very eerie and with horrifying images. It's just fantastic. Good job, Frank.
Oh, come on. Bring your plate up to the table. We'll give you a good hunk of meat.
Yeah, I'm not hungry.
Promises, promises.
All right, Adam.
I'm not hungry. Somehow I lost my appetite.
Need some Chianti.
Thank you, Jeff. All right,
Adam.
What piece would you like, light or dark meat?
Both.
Oh, okay. We've got a cannibal in the house. What'd you think?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that theatric. What everybody's saying resonates. I tried to come at it at a different approach. Like, I don't really know, because you guys have, like, inside tracks on a lot of these that I don't have. So I feel bad, like, when I kind of am on base, but I'm a little off base because I don't know the exact specifics that you guys know, and I'm hearing these and reading these for the very first time. But I tried to look at this and take it all as a grand metaphor for, because the Picasso thing is so, I mean, yeah, it's a metaphor for stitching things together, whatever. In his later work, Picasso decided to do that purposely when he was already a master artist at a, you know, in his teens. He was already a master painter, right? And he chose to go to that style. And people just like, what? I don't understand. So I feel like there's some sort of, I think he's talking about the art of art. That, and he's, I mean, this might be actually an attack at somebody. I don't know. But it feels like, because I could see how deeply we woven within the metaphor of this cannibal killer stitcher together of human beings. He's talking about someone that steals people's art or has done it subconsciously and uses that in their art form. But, you know, because really it's some dullard Bubba who doesn't know what the heck they're doing, but somehow they've managed some sort of deft hand at it, and it wears a mask of fakeness, and don't become another victim of this scourge of art. Anyways, I'm an idiot. That was just my unique take.
I like the lines you drew on that. Don't be another victim, because that does kind of point to this, sometimes we walk into the thought of victimhood because we don't pay attention to that which is going on around us. I see, touched upon. Naomi, how about you?
I found something in it.
Yeah, I loved Adam's comment on that. That's a unique way of taking this piece and pulling it apart and seeing deeper layers inside of it. It's amazing. Amazing comment. If I take this just straightforward, the wording in it, I think it's one of the best pieces that I've written from Frank so far in this genre. It just captivated me and pulled me in. It was as if I was reading a chapter of a book here. Just so well written, Frank. Just loved this piece. Yeah, it just captivated me to fully and, down to the last line. I was just following up. I was actually reading ahead to see what was going to happen. You know, I was reading ahead of his voice. So, yeah, this really captivated me. So thank you. Thank you, Frank, for this.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you? What piece would you like?
I want fava beans with it. It doesn't matter.
Fava beans.
See, big pot of fava beans. We can have them with everything. I think it was a wonderful piece that Frank did. Soon on the shelves of Amazon, an audiobook of Frank's.
Please.
Oh, yeah, that would be great, eh?
Please.
Or an audiobook.
I need that. I need that now. Pre-order.
I don't know. If he's smart, he'll release it right around Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there you go.
Kill of many killers, right?
Or Valentine's Day for some other pieces of it.
Or both.
Yeah, right.
How to treat the heart? How to treat your favorite heart on Valentine's Day?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but anyway, Frank, I thought it was really well done, and your audios are always exceptional. And the piece was just well-written. I didn't really, you know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you could have named it anything, and I could have just gone along with it. Change the dude's name from Bubba to Sorry, and I'd have been in. You know, I think it was just a well-done piece. So, good job. Okay.
Great comments, everybody. Frank, I like the two middle stanzas there, just for the nice draw on language. The stench of crimson blood pervades over the grisly fumes, and the feasting maggots come out of their dried mouths in droves. A family of cannibals dine on the cooked, well-done meat of victims. Yummy. All right.
We're
coming back to you, Gene.
I'm actually hungry, actually, now.
Okay, well, Eugene, where the hell are you? Oh, sorry. What was I thinking?
Frank's got his cool glasses on, and he's sipping some wine right now. A little sangria to go with them fava beans.
Can I ask a question? Is Booba the actual name of the character in the movie?
Booba. Booba.
It might be. I've forgotten. It's been so damn long since I've seen the movie.
Frank, can you hear us? Right? Yes or no on the board?
Need an inside track now. We need to know exactly the details of this. Explain, please.
Tell us something, man. Tell us something.
He's drunk. Okay. He's not.
Ruthless.
He said yes. He said, yes, it is. Okay.
Yep.
Is he drinking sangria?
No, he actually is drinking. Okay. Awesome. I should be too.
Okay. First off, I'm going to welcome Sawa aboard. Hello, Sawa. How are you tonight?
Hello, Phil Headlong.
Hey, Sawa.
But I'm here. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi, Naomi.
Sawa.
Everyone. I don't know if I missed anyone. I'm sorry. Just do a name I heard.
You said it. I think that covers everyone. That was a good job.
Okay. Wonderful.
Okay, now, Naomi, I have one for you to read, if you don't mind.
Okay, by Seaglass, Visible. Visible by Seaglass. Shifting shapes glide between red brick buildings, along stone wall alleys to the bridge that arcs a river where it meets the sea. They form a choir and sing to the moon on Saturdays, their song, a sonorous horn, warning ships at sea. Bells ring on the horizon of the brave little days, rats on caged and shapeless crowds, melting as the walls fold into gray gatos, where shapes shift and faceless, roughened things drink cold tea with Mr. Orwell and Aldous Huxley, who wrote of their tomorrows and talk of my todays. Oh, that's so cute. That's so witty at the end. So Orwell and Huxley. Oh, wow.
Great read. Thank you very much. All right. Great. Why don't we kick off with you this one round?
Well, that was wonderfully read, Naomi. But, you know, this is... it's richly metaphoric, you know, deep layers to it, and well written. You know, about division is the art of seeing things invisible, and there's a lot of that in here, invisibility, where things are being said without being said. But just a fantastic way.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, she touches on a lot in this little piece here. Shifting shapes glide between red brick buildings. You know, the those shapes that are, maybe they're from the past, maybe they're past. I don't know. Maybe they're the passing of life, the passing of life, yeah, and how it impacted on the future, maybe, and then sometimes that we don't always see it. And I love the way she ends it with, you know, you can just see in Orwell there with Huxley, who wrote of tomorrows, and they talk of my todays. So this is an excellent piece all the way through, just an amazing piece. The way she incorporated to those famous characters there in the end, I think it's brilliant. So I'm waiting for Rexus or somebody else's take on this.
So
then I'll feel dumb.
Nicely said there, Naomi, thank you. How about you, Adam?
So I thought this was definitely, everybody touched on it. It's a social commentary because in the end, this is my today. These dystopic ideal, you know, in books that, and it's today though. It's our climate. It's what's going on in the world, and it's a very bleak view. But they're seeing what they've already felt as future forecast in today. And it's what Gray said, you know, it's the invisible that is visible. If you look, you know, the ghetto, it was touched on throughout and beautifully spoken of already and well written, like very well written. I loved it.
Nice.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Adam. Salwa, how about you?
I don't know why my mind taking me somewhere else. The word visible. For me, she see things that really it's up to us to see what we want to see. It's things just mm-hmm. and we can see it the way we want to see it. Mm-hmm. Like where the river meets the sea, they form a choir. It's the imagination. We see she sees some beautiful things where things meet, where things in the sea, in the moon. It's visible in her mind, like a song or like that's what I see here, and it's really beautiful. Because I'm kind of like this a little bit, so that's why I went to this direction.
Thank you, Sonia. And Jean, how about you?
I'm going to wait for you, too. I thought it was a wonderful piece and a wonderful take on that prompt. It was clever and well written. And, yeah, thank you so much for writing for us, Siglitz. I appreciate that. Excellent.
Nice. And, Cal, you got to read it.
I think Naomi read it.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Dino droppings.
Right.
Well,
well,
you
can
your fantasy.
I really like this on the sense of, you know, invisibility, what's there and what we can see and what we can't see. You know, shifting shapes glide. This is really an awesome way to say shadows. I really like where it says where the river meets the sea, they form a choir and sing to the moon on Saturday. It's just really, really well done. It's very visceral, but it's also very metaphorical. It's lovely.
Excellent. Great comments, gang. All right. I think there's a note here that second stanza, the faceless refuseniks drink cold tea with Mr. Orwell and Aldous Huxley. I think the thought of a vision is the art of seeing things invisible comes right in those two lines right there. Mr. Orwell's 1984 and The Doors of Perception from Aldous Huxley. We haven't taken the thought to see the invisible, which lay visible in those books from 60, 70 years ago, and now we're paying the ultimate price for not actually paying attention. Offers up that first stanza, the back end, a sonorous horn, warning ships at sea. So you look at those two books as a warning call to the future, and yet they wrote of their tomorrows, and they're actually talking of our todays today. So it was a nice touch of thought, lightly and subtly placed within that. I like it. Nicely done, Seaglass. Thank you. And just we're coming back your way, Jean.
Back around.
Yay. I'm here. And the next piece I have to put up is Cal's piece. So, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Refresh. Oh, there it is.
I'm here. I was dealing with a cat. Okay. I wrote this one a few years ago for my daughter because she loves roosters. Rooster crows. The rooster awakes at the crack of dawn, cackles and chuckles and brays his song. Cock-a-doodle, cock-a-doodle, cock-a-doodle-doo. The hens that are in the house drop an egg or two. If other than chickens, they trap their pants. Yee-haw, yee-haw, the jackass denies. It's morning barnyard, time to get up. Pigs squeal, rolling over in their muddled mud. Horses neigh, stomping in heads. Nay, bud, cows in the pasture, rolling eyes, chews cud. Cock-a-doodle, cock-a-doodle, cock-a-doodle-doo. Good morning, all, good morning to you. As scared crows calling through you too, dogs in the yard barking a warning, farmer comes out to start the morning. End poem.
Ooh, got to get in the barnyard. Calling cards here. Nicely done there. Thank you very much. Let's get some comments.
Rooster cards when we need them.
Salwa, how about you? What did you think of this?
It made me smile. It reminded me of old MacDonald had a farm in a different version. Your version. It's really beautiful. I'm sure your daughter loved it. It would be a really great song for children. It's just amazing. You have beautiful imagination. If other than chicken, they crap their pants. It's so funny. There's so many funny lines. No, really beautiful. Well done. Made me laugh. Thank you.
Thank you. Adam, how about you?
Yo, I'm right along with what she said. That like this, it's very lovely that she wrote this for, you know, her daughter, and it's very. I mean, though, you know, it's beyond Old MacDonald, but like I get it, like the harking of that. This, it could make a good children's song, it, like, unless for some of the other little out of children's level kind of content in there, but. I love, my favorite line was, and the scared crows calling, screw you, because they just got like, I just see these crows like, because the crow is the most intelligent, most probably creature on this whole list. And, it's, and the next thing you know, it's woken up like, what the hell? It's 3 a.m.? Why are you, you know, it's like, it's hilarious. I just, that was my favorite line. I loved it.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I just thought this was wonderful. I'd love to see students illustrate this. It would be a hoot to see the drawings that go along with this, right? And this made me think of, you know, one of the first questions my students ask me is, why do animals talk different in French and in English? Because in English, you know, how rooster goes.
Read the words.
In English, a rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, but in French, a rooster goes cocorico, cocorico. And in English, a cow goes moo, and in French, a cow goes moo. And you know, so that made me think of that. I always crack up when they ask me that, you know, when I'm teaching them the sounds of animals, and they always say, you know, why do they talk different, you know, in English and French. So made me think of that right away. But this is an amazing piece, Kel. It's just so brilliantly written. It's just so enchanting, and so it has a touch of magic in it. It's just such a wonderful write. Just loved it.
Thank you. Well said, Naomi. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I really loved Adam's take on it, you know, with the crow being saying through you to the being woken up at 3 a.m. And I really liked your take on it, Naomi, with the kids, you know, and seeing what they would draw to something like that. I thought it was a fantastic idea. And but no, you did a wonderful job reading it, Kel, and the poem is hilarious. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
And Jean, how about you?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was humorous, it was fun, it was very enjoyable. So great job there, Kel. It was nice.
Thanks.
Nicely done.
Well, I'm gonna go back to another note and run this as the funny side of Animal Farm.
Oh yeah.
It works that well in that realm, but with a note instead of being the dark angle of it, they're running the humorous side of it and making a bit of fun and having good pokes at the farmer. I think it works well.
Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, back. To you.
Yeah, there's not enough time to do all these tonight. I'm going to tell you what, Rex, I believe I have 12 next. And
you have,
put it up.
You have 12 men?
I have who? If
you
I
have
do,
12
I wish
men.
They show up. 12 men.
That's the jury you might
men.
Not like.
Silverbacks and gorilla yeah. moons.
Oh,
so
is that, okay. All right.
Lots of stuff, boy. Lots of stuff.
Yeah, so let's walk in a different realm then, huh? All right. Silverbacks and gorilla moons. Cast your hollow-eyed virtue on the snowy parsnips of thy juicy mullet. That gander slander and slick finger pastoral, gaslighting mulled musings, shouldst thine wormwood cholera curve crocodile lipped harlequin? Fool be the high-hatted derigger coterie, now, farthing short of swag in royal courting's bow. sigh not in sweet bottoms burn. 'Tis but foul folly in botany base swords drawn on one's lap luxury. Where Soho sequins impress not surly gorillas in the mist, welcoming you to their jungle. Tally-ho, let the blooding begin. Maxwell's silver hammer is knocking heads, spitting lead, because blanks don't flow to what the shadow knows, and in that veil lies Malico. And Paul.
Jesus.
Nice job. Nice job. Adam, you want to start us off on this one?
Well, there's a lot of it that is beyond my ken, but there is some of it I definitely reckon. So, masterfully done. Yeah, you just got to beware. Sharks are everywhere. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Nicely said.
Wink, wink. No, just kidding.
And Naomi, how about you, hon?
Oh, sorry. I was kind of away. Sorry, Rex. I love your writing, but I was kind of distracted. So I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
We'll take it out of your eyes later. It's okay.
Nothing to forgive. Don't worry. All is good.
Yep. Yes. Kel, how about you?
Oops. I don't know, but I think I heard gas. Somewhere in there. I think somebody tooted. what is that? Oh, yeah, that gander slander and slick finger pastoral. Gaslighting, mule musings. I don't know. I just get a sense that, you know, someone let one go. Oh, fool me. Now farthing short of swag and royal courting bow. This is really, really fantastic. I may be wrong, but yeah. Yeah, this is, it's fun. It's fun. Howdy ho, let the flooding begin. Yeah, I like it. I really like this, Rex. I might be wrong about the, you know, the toots, but yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, it's what everybody draws out of it, darling. That's all that matters.
There you go. And Sawa, how about you?
Oh, every time I read, I have to admit, to Rex, it just hurt my mind in a beautiful way. I want to try to get something. I have an explanation, right or wrong. Should I try it at least? It would be I tried at least. It's like almost a court where a jungle, where you said royal. Remind me of royal court in the old time, how they take people and make fun of each other and who prove who's the imbecile. That made me tingle. I can't help it. Because they really did it in the past, so I wonder if that's what where you're going with. You're an enigma. I can't wait to hear what Phil have to say. Angry.
I like that. Thank you, Sawa.
My pleasure.
Nice job, Sawa. And Gray, how about you?
I don't know, Rex. Your mind just takes me down acid flashback lane, acid flashback alley. You know, it's just trippy how you put your words together, and you know, you sew up this beautiful artwork, and just, you know, it's like you're just so calm and cool and collected about it. But no, it's beautiful, beautiful work. You should take a bow.
Thank you, Gray.
Oh, my God. Rex, funny stuff. Like, really well done, well written, in a clever piece. And I think maybe Pam's onto something because she says, you drink too much of that mulled musing. You're going to be shooting a tumbler. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a great comeback. But excellent piece. And thank you for sharing that with us. Oh, my God. Too funny.
Thank you, Dan.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'd like to ask everyone before it gets to be 12 o'clock if you guys could just hang in there, because I have a couple more I want to get through. I think there's like two, maybe three. So if you'd be so kind as to just indulge me tonight, I am.
Will we hear Adam?
Can you say
it?
I have Adam and Greg, and I want to make sure that I get them in tonight. So I'd like for everybody to indulge me and stay after school. I mean, stay after the show.
We're getting rulers.
Don't make me get the ruler, you know.
I like nuns with rulers.
I was just going to say, some
What's
of you
the
guys
measure of
probably
a man?
Like, how did I know? How did I know? Adam, your piece is up whenever you're ready. God.
Well, it's a SoundCloud, so shoot.
Oh, shoot, whenever I'm ready. Okay, here I go.
I mean, shots have already been fired, so that's all right.
Shut me up. Good job, Gert. Okay, here we go.
The one crumble thing. If I could leave the one crumple thing in the wake of my unraveling. If I could leave without a stain upon your memory, without need for long-winded soliloquy. If I could be with brevity rather than the inky smudge blots of coagulated misery. These crumpled things of me, I'd toss myself aside with only you in mind. Burn another page, thousands of bits set ablaze, ashes of my verse. If I could be but anything, I'd never want to speak. It would be a kindly kept memory, something you fetched from the trash heap of me, kept secretly. Dream, oh I do. Wish, oh I do. Only wishes and dreams are but stitches to the water, forever they get lost in the drifting. To be anything more than this breathing breath that strains to breathe, I'd rather be the air used in your voice as you spoke the words. But this, but one crumpled thing.
Great read, Adam. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated.
Sorry how loud that was.
Comments. Let's start with the gals. Kel, why don't you take us off, please?
Wow, this is absolutely beautiful. It's very, in some ways, it's heartbreaking and haunting. But I really like this. I'd rather be the air you used in your voice as you spoke of the words of this, but one crumpled thing. That's just, wow. This is beautiful. It really is. It's very beautiful. I love this, Adam.
Nice, Kel. Thank you. And Naomi, how about you?
This is deep and sad. Yeah. If I could be but a brevity rather than the inky smudge blots of coagulated misery, these crumpled things of me. Wow. Like, I mean, that's taking everything you are, crumpling it up and, you know, into a page of, you know, just crumpled up paper there and just chewing it out and spitting it back out. A crumpled up thing. This is really deep and heartbreaking, really, really sad. And beautifully written. It's beautiful in its deep, deep sadness. It's beautiful. So an amazing write, Adam.
Nice, Naomi. Thank you. And Salwa, how about you?
I agree with all the ladies. It's really beautiful. An amazing presentation, yet it's so full of pain and sadness. You can feel it in every word. And the repetition of if all the way make you feel that you wish it's not like this. If I could, you wish you could change it, but knowing that's not Really well done. Every line is just amazing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alexander. And Grace?
Yeah, that was a tremendous performance of the read. And, you know, the poem itself is engaging. It's deep. It's introspective. And it really is a brilliant piece. Excellently done, Adam.
Thank you, Greg. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Adam, I thought this was a painfully sad piece. But I think it was well written and it was nice. And it was well expressed. And, I mean, you know, painful, sad pieces, it's hard to say, oh, it was great. You know, you can't be all bubbly like that. It doesn't sound right. But I think you did a beautiful job with it. And, yeah, you definitely, I think, hit the right notes to convey the emotions you were trying to share with everyone. And beautiful work.
Great comments, everybody. Adam, everybody said on that note of sadness, and yes, there is, but there's something more in here that's kind of more a little show the use of language you ran in this the long-winded soliloquy, the brevity, the inky smudge blots of coagulated misery, these crumpled things of me. That kind of hits me at the note of inking to someone from your heart and not finding the words or the voice to actually set things on paper that you know you need to say, want to say, have to say, but then just not coming out right, or so you think. Because down at the end, you hit on another thought. I'd rather be the air used in your voice as you spoke the words of this, but one crumpled thing, that one crumpled piece of paper that fully expresses your voice to her and what she means to you. And that's what you were, that's the sad part of this, because that's the back end of everything you voiced here, because it's the one thing you want to hear. And you haven't been able to set that down on paper so she can understand and then maybe offer up something in return.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Well, it got real quiet here.
Well,
I was waiting for you to say back to you, Phil. See?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's that no, threat of knuckle busting.
It was just, sorry. I was going to speak on it myself a little
bit.
No,
go ahead.
I was just so quiet because I'm in tears and shuddering, and that's why I couldn't read it. I shared this with you all on here because it's the most personal thing maybe on my whole, of all my writing. I wrote this recently, though it is a reflective, introspective piece. I've been writing since I was like 5 years old, and it's my life summed up in the things I throw away, which is myself. I've tried to kill myself too many times to count. I'm a survivor of it. I often feel so little comparatively that it destroys me.
Yeah.
That I can't. So I felt comfortable enough to share this with you guys because I felt like it was kind of, you know, I'm not used to socializing on this platform with so many amazing people all the time. And I love it. And I've never been around a lot of writers in my life. Like usually I'm the one person that actually writes. I'm the one person that thinks or whatever, has some sort of view of life or the world beyond just sports teams and presidents and all this superfluous bullshit in the world, when really it's all about love and connection and the universe and the beauty of loving each other. And I feel so worthless within it.
Really,
Rex, you you didn't really hit exactly. I mean, there was a harking of that, but it was barely about that. What everybody else kind of thought was actually way more what it was.
Well, with what
like, it was kind of like a
up,
subtle. It was a subtle. Like it was
the
subtly
back,
there.
The further
I'm
thought
sorry.
Within it. No. With what you just said, I could see the deeper angle that you were running on. So yes, it is there.
And it's just it is there, but it's there is no one, there is no person in particular, there is no her, there is no she. If that makes sense, it's everybody I've ever loved, that's who I'm talking about. Everybody that I've ever loved.
Right. Right. Well, why? Well,
I'm
going to say this.
A throwaway scrap of nothingness.
Because, you know, it's always good. You know, you're here with us. It's a great place to be, you know.
Well, sometimes
things can only get better.
Safe.
You
think you're somewhere,
but
you're not.
And sometimes there's a nice bit of relief in letting it hang out on paper.
It just continually makes me cry. Like, I don't know what this is that I can't even...
Well, let it out. It's the way it is.
I'm like so flippantly like try to be funny and laugh that... You know, I don't go through pain or I'm a real human being, you know, but I am.
Oh, God.
And this is the way human beings are, you know. I really start to have a very nihilistic view of people the more I interact with them. It's like, don't they have hearts anymore, for Christ's sake? Don't you see that a human being, no matter what you think, is still a fucking human? You know, people are so awful to each other all the time and tear each other apart for nothing, for their own selfish egos.
Yep. Yep, yep. Absolutely. I get it.
Yeah, but, you know, all you can do is just keep shining your light through the darkness. You know, that's what you do.
One more light, right? Yep. One more light.
That's right.
And you do it one day at a time. You don't think about what you didn't do yesterday or what you can do tomorrow. You think about what today means and brings.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And writing helps, Adam.
Yes.
Writing is the first step. It helps so much.
Absolutely.
It's cathartic, man. It is.
Just never felt like I belonged in the world. Just from the beginning, from my childhood, from an early age, I didn't feel I belonged here. I felt like I was a mistake, an error, a 404, whatever you want it to be, a glitch. I didn't belong, and it's carried on throughout my adult. And I don't know how to reconcile it. I've been through therapy and everything else, and people tell me they love me, yada yada yada. And I just don't fucking belong here, and that's how I feel. And I fight, and I do fight, Rex. And every day I try, and I tell myself these prayers to keep on carrying on. And it's very hard.
Can I say something to you? Can I say something to you? We all feel lost until we find our home. We all travel. We all feel like not a part of something until we find that space where we belong. We all have a groove, and we all need to fit in it. You know, yours may be, you know, in Timbuktu. Mine may be in Kalamazoo. And I'm not trying to be like a smarty as you. But it's really the truth of it.
That's
you know, and it takes time to find that groove. It just doesn't happen.
I'm fucking 37 years old. I should have found my fucking groove.
I'm 59, man. I found it, lost it, and I'm trying to find it again.
There,
be real. So, yeah.
I found it and lost it, and I can't find it.
Yeah.
That's life, though. It really is. We move on. We go to this place, or we go here. We're always in search of something, Adam. All of it.
Never give up hope. Never give up hope.
No, never give up. And I found I found all poetry, there are people that understand me, especially on the late nights.
Yeah. My mother, God rest her soul, you know what she would say? Don't let the bastards wear you down. That's my mom.
Your mom's
really?
A genius.
Yeah, she is. You know, you got to trim off the fat and look at it. You know, you can't be upset by everybody. You know, yeah, it pisses you off. You know, but you can't let them wear you down.
Well, anger is a secondary
emotion
to hurt or some other feelings. Anger is only secondary. And if I don't get pissed off easily, actually, I'm actually a very calm and collective person. Collective, yeah, I'm a collective. Oh, my God. Collected. Oh. Jesus Christ.
That's okay. I would tell you to stick with late nights. We're all crazy over there. We're good. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Maybe find your place, Adam.
Maybe I'll just
between
start.
Other writers, you know. That's maybe
connect. Yeah, I'm starting to connect mm-hmm. to people. Like, I've never socialized on this platform, so it's kind of like new to me. And people in my everyday life, they don't really know the me that is me. It's just like, oh, it's the guy that plays guitar or the guy that writes or the fat dude or the blonde guy or the pasty dude or whatever. It's all these superfluous surface-ass shit. And here it's like I can reveal all kinds of varied aspects of myself, from the mundane to the trivial things, to sex, to kinks, to things I like, to deeper meanings, you know.
Oh, my goodness. TMI.
And then I get to see other people, too, you know, and they're writing who they are. Oh, TMI, sorry.
No, I was playing. First rule, don't take me serious all the time because it's scary.
Well, yeah, I don't know you that well, Gene. Like, I've been on a couple other shows and kind of am familiar with certain people, you know, but you're kind of a new character to me. Sorry, but I kind of am getting you and I'm feeling you out. And, I just got to get used to people sometimes when they're different.
I'll report this. Rex, write that down.
Feeling on Gene.
See?
Rex, you better come here and get in with me
later on, didn't they?
I'm too old for you.
Who says?
Oh, my God.
What is this social concept of age?
Man, but it's okay. I can be your buddy. We can
okay, friend. Pals.
Yes.
In the end, you just carve it on my tombstone, please. I'll be your Huckleberry.
No.
Or maybe Billy the Kid, because I'm kind of kiddish. I like to
That's
do these
little,
things. Beat Nick vibe.
That would be Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday, that's my
this.
Guy, man. All the way.
No, anyways, yeah. That's another Val Kilmer. He killed it in that. I love Val Kilmer. He's great actor. Great, phenomenal actor. It's tragedy what kind of like became of him. Pure acting genius. He's pure acting genius. And he was never really recognized for the genius he was.
Yeah, he was pretty incredible. And
amazingly good looking. Like, how do you get that in a package? Like, good looking as hell, and then also a brilliant actor.
Some people just butt in line, you know? They go in, they get the good stuff, and then they butt in front of somebody else, and they take more good stuff. I don't get it. It's rotten of them. It is. I got to say. But we're good.
Thank you, guys. You've all been beautiful, wonderful. Thank you.
You too, Adam.
I need a shot.
All good.
Who's serving it up? Coming to Canada. A.
But they'll all tell
I'll bring
you
the
Adam,
yellow lemonade.
Hey, Adam, we're both in Ohio, so we got it going.
She has a younger taste of flesh, I feel. Sorry, I'm getting too loose all of a sudden. I don't let me off the leash. I'm serious.
Watching now, they'll all tell you that I'm crazy, man. Well, that'd be good now. That'd be good. I crack that whip every now and then. I got a ruler. It's in the room. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, 18. 18 inches. Bam. Yep. No messing. Tell him, Rex.
Are we going to?
Oh, I was supposed to say something? Like, don't you go where the huskies go,
Rex.
And don't you eat that yellow snow.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. We got the yellow snow thing going on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Free ice is over here.
Dang, Rex, you are crazy badass. you must be like, I mean, my God. Not my God, but definitely
mine
amazing.
Too, watch
it. I never hold a claim to sanity.
Oh, my God. Okay, now listen. I got one more thing to do. Yeah,
yes.
Because I have one more poem that's important, and that's the one for Gray.
Oh.
You know, and Gray's my buddy, man. I can't skip him. That would be wrong.
Where did the chat go? Oh, there it is.
There you go, Greg. Whenever you are ready, man.
Okay, this piece is called Out of Body. The wind breezes through the silver birch, rustling the leaves upon its path. I feel her breath as it lifts the hairs on the back of my neck, not unlike the forest around me. I shudder to my roots. Sorry, I quiver to my roots as I comprehend that as soft as the breeze may be, it has the force to topple me. Yet, unlike the tree, that single breath has unraveled my core. Like a thermal in the bright blue sky, my desire spirals aloft into the atmosphere. I am out of body. I am hers. End of poem.
Great read, Greg. All right, let's get to some comments. Salwa, how about we start with you, please?
Oh, this is really beautiful, so delicate and so tender. Your love for nature and your love for her, both combined together, it's just beautiful metaphor how it shows really your love. And the wind breezes through the silver, rustling upon its path. You can feel it. You see, I feel her breath. I quiver. Just how you express how it really makes you feel. And that's what love does, and it's really beautiful. Well done, Greg. I'm sorry, Greg.
Thank you.
You're going to get my pleasure.
Thank you, Salwa.
Cal, how about you?
Oh, goodness. I thought it was a very tender and natural right, and it's just very beautiful. My desire spirals aloft into the hemisphere. I am out of body. I am hers. That is just wow. It is comparing yourself to the wind. Is it wow? It's beautiful, Gray. Absolutely beautiful. I don't know what else to say.
Appreciate it, Naomi.
That was Cal.
Cal, sorry.
Now we're going to get to Naomi.
The other Naomi.
Yeah.
Naomi?
Me? My turn? Yeah. I think this is, I read into this as being like out of body. I am hers, like I am one with Mother Nature, maybe, you know, with the wind and the leaves and the forest around her. And I quiver to my roots. And so I see it as a love affair with Mother Nature here. So, and I think this is very brilliantly written and very soft and tender and spiritual. I see the spirituality throughout this write. So it's just amazing, Gray. I just love this piece.
Thank you, Naomi. That's a good take on it. I like it.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Adam, how about you?
So I was thinking along the same lines. So as Naomi, like, so at first I was thinking like everybody else that, or whatever, that it was beautiful about your lover or what have you. Well, you know, masterfully done, if that, even just that. But then I saw the capitalization of the poem in the final line. He says, I am this. And it was, so I'm like wondering, and then at that, while I was musing that, we got to hear Naomi, and I was like, man, that's where I am too, starting to think as I kept reading it, that it was that, but it could go those ways, and maybe it's even something secret, more secret than that. Sometimes, you know, we do this as writers. We make one grand swoop of this so that the top level means one thing, but there's a deeper meaning, but then there's even a deeper meaning that is super personal or even more hidden that no one will even know. There's no way they could absolutely know at all unless you told them. I often do this too. And I don't know if that might be it, because he is out of body. The naming of his poem in the end last line is poignant to me. I just am not intelligent enough to figure this out, or I would have to spend more time reading maybe Gray's writing. Anyhow, beautifully, it's beautiful though. Wonderful.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
And Gene, how about you?
I got it. Beautifully written, Greg. I love the duality of the piece. It's drifting as one with Mother Nature, but also communing with your soulmate. You know, it's definitely a duality piece in my mind. And if you say no, I'll say, okay, great, whatever. But I think it was beautifully done.
I agree.
I think it was beautifully done.
Yeah, it does
see,
express that duality
it.
To it.
Yeah,
I can walk along that very same type of thought, Gene, but I think this goes a little bit, it needs that, because of, I hate using the indigenous angle, it kind of rolls a little foreign on the tongue. I think more people of the earth, the ones who understand nature and Gaia in and of itself and that spiritual aspect of being one within that realm, that's how you understand the can that rolls into being the totality with the love of your life, so to speak. So now having that understanding, the nature of the universe and how thing works within it gives you a little bit more perspective on what is and what is important.
Absolutely. It's all wonderful.
Thank you.
Yep. I like when you throw those little tidbits out there to us, Greg. They're nice. I don't know how I missed it the first time, but I like it. Amen. So anyway, listen, guys, I have 10 more poems, but I'm not going to make you stay after school that long. I think I told you long enough. I won't call your parents, you know, and tell them you've been dead or anything. It's all good. I appreciate all of you calling in and hanging out all night with us. I appreciate everyone reading their pieces. Sorry I didn't get you to read a piece for us. And your piece
fine.
Was read about mid-morning.
I'm sorry, I was caught at work.
That's okay. I wasn't sure because you didn't say you were coming or not.
Yeah, so. I meant to say that I forgot. Don't worry. I'm glad. Thank you for playing it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've been trying to change things up a little bit. But I definitely, you know, appreciate all of you calling in. I appreciate all the poetry tonight. We had a lot on the board. And, I still have 10 to carry over. That's pretty good. Well, not good. So half a show. And it was excellent. Adam, hang in with us, man. Hang with us. We're a crazy bunch, but you know, you get a couple laughs with us anyway. Just a couple, don't you?
Tons of laughs.
I can't promise more. What's
fun.
That
know.
Brings us to
but,
the closing elements of this very eventful evening. Da, 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 da. Good night, sweethearts. It's time to go. Do, 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 do. Good night, sweethearts. It's time to go. Boom, 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 boom. Good night, sweethearts. It's time to go. Good night, sweethearts. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everybody. Good night, everybody.
All right, gang.
Thank you.
Sleep tight.
All right.
Night.
And have a good evening,
everyone. Take care. Bye. Bye.